Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy news update. Warriors star Kevin Durant heading to New York City today for an evaluation of his Achilles injury. Golden State says KD was slated to undergo an MRI on his right leg today, and the team believes the results will confirm a torn right Achilles tendon. Durant suffered the no-contact injury in the second quarter of last night's Game 5 NBA Final, playing in just 12 minutes of action. Prior to Monday, he hadn't played since May 8th due to that right calf strain. KD was not even close to 100% when he took the floor last night. Game 6 of the NBA Final shifting back to California Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Current betting line, Warriors -3, -150 on the money line. Raptors +3, +130 on the money line. Total in this game is 211 flat. Updated series price, Toronto -330 and Golden State +270 to win the championship. Marvin Williams has exercised his $15 million player option to remain with the Charlotte Hornets for the 2019-20 season. The veteran averaging 10.1 points, 5.4 rebounds, 1.2 assists, almost a steal a game, and 0.8 blocks in last season averages with Charlotte there. The Pelicans say now there's no urgency or panic to move star Anthony Davis before the upcoming June 20th NBA draft. The Memphis Grizzlies hiring Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach Taylor Jenkins as their new head coach. Jenkins worked under Mike Budenholzer with the Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. He also coached the San Antonio Spurs G League affiliate team. One live baseball game on the go. The Battle of New York City Subway Series. Mets and Yankees. Yankees up 10-5. Top 8. Gio Urshela on fire today. A dinger and 4 RBIs so far for the Pinstripes. David Ortiz expected to make a full recovery after being shot in his native Dominican Republic. He's back in Boston. Ortiz even flashing that trademark smile today. It looks like he's going to be 100% soon, so that's good news there. NFL, the New Orleans Saints have inked defensive end Cameron Jordan to a 3-year, $52.5 million extension, including a $42 million guarantee. The soon-to-be 30-year-old will earn $74.5 million if he plays out the next 5 seasons and hits all the incentives. Jordan posted 12 sacks in 2018, and he's reached the double-digit sack mark in 4 of his last 8 seasons. The guy is also a 4-time Pro Bowler. Jalen Ramsey in line for a massive payday from Jacksonville, but it's not coming soon. The Jag star corner said the team told him in a contract extension will not go down this season. Ramsey not happy, saying he's going to ask for so much money, they're going to have to put him on a layaway payment plan. That was his joke on Twitter, but the man wants to get paid. There are 2 years remaining on the deal after the Jaguars exercise his $13.7 million fifth-year option for 2020. Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck will miss minicamp with a calf injury. He's expected back for training camp. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night in Boston. Current line, Bruins -165, total 5.5. Blues +145. The Bruins also saying premature story in the St. Louis paper about the Blues winning the Cup. It really pissed them off, and it forced a decisive 7th game on home ice. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. Here's the rest of the MLB betting board. Game 2 of the doubleheader between the Yankees and Mets. Yankees -250, total 9. Vargas and Paxton, 2 more at 705. We got Toronto -120 at Baltimore, 9. Thornton versus Means. Arizona and Philly. Phillies -149. Duplantier and Arrieta. 4 games at 710. We got the Battle of Ohio. Cincinnati and Cleveland. Indians -130, 8.5. Castillo versus Bauer. Oakland and Tampa Bay. Rays -160. Fires, dumpster fires in Stanek. 9 is your total. Texas and Boston. Boston -180, 10.5. Heredo and Hernandez. St. Louis, 50-cent favorites at Miami. Hudson versus Hernandez, total 8. 720, we got Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Braves -150, 9.5. Archer and Fulton Evans. 4 more at 810. Washington -185 at the White Sox. 9.5. Corbin versus Benuelos. Milwaukee and Houston. Astros -125. Peralta and Peacock, it's 8.5. Seattle at Mini. Twins -200, 9.5. Leak and Perez. Detroit and Kansas City. Royals -145. Favorites. Turnbull versus Junis, total 8.5. 840. Cubs -135 at the Rockies. 12 is your total. Quintana versus Lambert. San Diego -150 at San Fran. Paddock versus Beedy, total 8. And the Dodgers -155 at the Angels. Mejia versus Pena, 9.5. 10:07 start. Women's Cup of World Soccer here. United States on fire. They're up 3-0 on Thailand there at the half. The Netherlands beating New Zealand 1-0. And Sweden, they blank Chile 2-0. Stick around, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart, Gabe Morency, host, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Hour 1. We're going to have some fun today, even though last night was disappointing. Hopefully some good vibes today. We got a big baseball betting board. So stick around. I'm Cam Stewart, Gabe Morency, host, Red Heat and Rage, Hour 1, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
game time decisions. Let's go!
Show must go on. So has to be done. I am able to throw it now with the raging redhead, Cam Snowboard, as it is the morning after, afternoon after, evening after the collapse. The six-point lead in the six evaporates, and now we're going six games in the NBA Finals, but as Cam alluded to, there's a lot going on in the sports world. Big golf week this week as well. Cam, how you feeling today?
Not very good, Gabe, to be honest with you. You know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like we talked to each other, just wanted something good to happen. But I did have a vision. I think this thing ends in six. I'm betting the Raptors. I'm all in. I already have the series price. I think they're going to win it on the road, not at home in game seven. It was really tight down the stretch. I think they can get it done. That's my take. People can take it or leave it. I know a lot of people are probably going to jump on Golden State, but I won't be one of them. I think the Raptors learned from this experience. I think they go in there. They've already beaten them twice and will make it thrice. Three times. I'm saying game six. It doesn't get to game seven. And we'll go through some golf stuff too. Lots of busy, busy baseball board today. And the Yankees kicking ass right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's funny. You look, the St. Louis Blues, very similar to the Toronto Raptors. And I tweeted this last week or going in on Saturday or whatever it was about, you know, the Blues have been better on the road. They have been. And
yep. You
have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup on home ice. They get caught up in the moment and they end up getting drilled. The Toronto Raptors last night, it was sort of an uphill climb, but it's a problem with the Raptors. And they've been doing this, and you can't do this against teams as good as Golden State. You can't just spot teams double-digit leads all the time. It's like the Raptors are like Johnny Comeback all the time now, and it's just it's starting to catch up to them. It's just a little bit too much, but they come back, they take the lead only to give it back, you know, in the final couple of minutes like that, Cam. And I agree. I think they are more comfortable a little bit. I think they're a little bit more comfortable on the road, and we see it with the St. Louis Blues as well. Just so much pressure. I don't know what it is, man. Teams just seemingly play better on the road for one reason or another in big games. They're more focused. They get back more to fundamentals. They get too cute and fancy at home for one reason or another. I don't know why pro athletes do this. It shouldn't matter where they are, but evidently it does.
It does, totally. And the thing about being on the road, Gabe, especially in hockey, it's a little bit different with basketball, but in hockey, you score that first goal on the road and that crowd just gets nervous, and then you have all the power. You took all the power. Boston's played good on the road, too. Look at two of the wins that they've had in the series. They haven't just killed St. Louis. They've murdered them on the road in those series, right? And their power play has been absolutely lethal. So I'm just going to say that's the thing. But you're right. When you are at home, especially in basketball with the vibe, how close the fans are in the environment and how crazy it is, you're the team that should be getting up 12 to 14 points at home and putting your foot on the team's throat early there. Hockey, it seems to be the opposite, you know? You score first on the road, you demoralize the team.
It is what it is. And what it is, the Tuesday edition of Game Time Decisions. Man. And we've been on the road for 4 days, and we're putting this together here. But, yeah, we are still the North, as Yank says. Good, bad, and the ugly.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's roll. Game Time Decisions continues. And Heat Rage, our radio. George Kurtz is going to step up in it. I thought we were going to have Rory McDonald on, actually. In fact, even Mike Cardano, being the cool dude that he is, said, you guys, you know, you're going to be beaten down. You're on the road for a couple of days. Just get back on track on Wednesday. Take Tuesday's show off. I'm like, well, you know what? We had Rory McDonald scheduled for, like, Monday, and then he rescheduled to do it on Tuesday. And I'm like, you know, I might as well. I'm going to have to face the music one way or another. Whether we win, I would have been even more, be probably still drunk right now if they would have won. Or they lose, and we got to fight through it. But, hey, listen, the series isn't over, Cam. It's disappointing. Oh, it was so close. Like, it really felt it. Wow, we're about to win. This is about to happen. Like, when they took the lead, and then they got up by six, like, people were starting to get giddy, man. Like, and in the stands, it was getting real. It was getting real. And, you know, I was concerned. Like, I sort of knew. I mean, Curry and Thompson were on fire with their threes last night. Every time they shot it, I expected it to go in. And, you know, the crowd cheering Durant and stuff, like, I didn't, like, I swear, like, the crowd was so loud. And I was, I caught it. You know what I mean? I think I was in the concourse, actually, when he actually physically got hurt. So, I tell you, I wasn't part of people, like, cheering that Kevin Garnett got hurt. Or Kevin Durant.
I
always
quiet,
talk about how you cheer for a player to get hurt, then your players are there. Like, come on, guys. It's not about cheering. We already know he's not healthy. I sort of knew he was going to get hurt anyways.
Gabe. I know, and obviously the Warriors, you know, the GM took a lot of the blame for this. He was definitely not 100%, but let's put this in perspective. It's like people are going, oh, yeah, Toronto, a bunch of dirtbag people there booing. Any type of person in any situation in a game, in an NBA final game, you're going to have people that boo. You got guys at White Sox, Kansas City games attacking people on the field and stuff, beating up, you know, first base coaches and fans who are smashing people's teeth in. Like, give me a break. It's one of those things. That would happen in any arena. That's my take on it. I think you would agree. But it says, ooh, nice Canadians. They're not supposed to do anything. No, it's an NBA final, and some people, you get some liquor, you get fired up, and you start going bananas. So, and not everyone booed.
No, you're exactly right. It's a good way of putting it, Cam. You know, is it pretty? No. You know, it is. It isn't. I've been talking a lot about this. That, you know, even me, I get pissed off and I say things that I regret after through the playoff run with the Raptors. It gets emotional. I think people were cheering, not so much so like, oh, ha, 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 that Durant got hurt, but more so that anything that it takes for the Raptors to win. Hey, that's one player out of the way, one guy down. And, you know, but people in Toronto are better than that. It is true. You know, Raptor fans are pretty classy for the most part, the Raptor organization. And, you know, the Golden State players said that after the fact that it surprised them that they didn't expect that from Toronto. It was, you know, it was a dark side of Toronto without a doubt. I mean, you can't discount it, but like, as you stated, I think the tensions are so high that it kind of would have happened anywhere at this point in time.
So you're telling me, I know we got George coming on here. With the Yankees Boston game, if some guy in Boston got hurt, I could tell you people would cheer. If you tell me I'm wrong, you're a liar.
Well, let's ask Kurtz about this. Let's see what Kurtz has to say.
We'll get
George Kurtz steps up and in. George, always a pleasure. Thank you, George. What's going on?
What's going on, guy? Yankees beating up on the Mets today. Had the over in the game. This is a nice afternoon for me.
Shout out, Kurtz.
I do the show with George on the weekend, and he hits a lot of winners, right? His baseball fantasy, like, I'm there in the dumps with the stupid parlay of the UFC. George, hey, another over, you know? He's shopping at good stores for his woman, buying jewelry and stuff, and I look like a punching bag on Saturday and Sunday morning. But, Kurtz, it's all coming up Kurtz, Gabe.
I gotta be honest, guys. Though I only took the over today, though, because I thought Jason Vargas was pitching for the Mets. I didn't realize it was gonna be Zach Wheel at first. I didn't check that out before game time. I took a nap and woke up right at game time, so it worked out for me. But didn't expect the Yankees to beat up on Wheeler as much as they did. But then again, neither team had any defense show up today.
So what do you think, George? Runs. To Gabe's point so far. About that stuff, we're talking about the booing of Kevin Durant. You're a Yankee fan. You've seen it all. The evil empire with Boston, the classic series. You don't think if a guy on Boston, one of their star players got, other than like beamed in the head and almost died, but if he had an injury running the bases and, you know, hurt his leg, you don't think some people would, you know, I don't think they'd care too much. That's kind of the way fans are. That's my thing.
Of course.
What do you think?
Of course they'd cheer. I mean, you already put it perfectly. You put some alcohol on people, they'll cheer if he dies on the bases. Forget about it. He just gets hurt. I mean, that's just par for the course. I mean, it's New York, too, right? Philadelphia, you know, the old saying, they boot Santa Claus back in the 70s. They'll cheer. Michael Irvin almost got paralyzed, and they were cheering his injury. I mean, that's just the way sports fans are. It's not right. You know, it's certainly, I don't think I would do that. I don't cheer for an injury, mainly because odds are, even if I'm a Yankee fan, I might have bet on that team, or I might have that guy on one of my fantasy teams. Doesn't help me. You know, if a Boston player gets hurt, Mookie Betts gets hurt, I'll be crying. So, but yeah, I think most arenas, you're going to have a certain amount of people cheer. Maybe it's more in some places than others. You know, I think that's an argument you could make here. But to say that, oh no, our fan base wouldn't cheer for an injury, that bullcrap.
As you stated, it's going to happen. It happens in stadiums all the time. It's going to happen in arenas all the time. But it's not something as well, guys. It's also something that alarms the players on your own team as well, right? Because it shows what kind of people you are when you do that. And, you know, it's just, it's sort of like, you know, when you know, you have these racists in Utah this year and they're harassing players on the visiting teams. Like, guys, like, you don't think that you're also upsetting, like, your own team as well when you do this, and the players on your own team as well? And it makes them think, I don't want to be here to play for these people. These guys are all, you know what I mean? So, you know, it was you know, it's not something that Toronto should be proud of. Well, we'll put it that way. As I stated, if I would have been, like, in the heat of it, you know, I had a few drinks myself. I wasn't cheering, but, you know, I didn't really, like, I didn't catch it. I think I was in a bathroom, or I came back in, and basically somebody told me, yeah, Durant just got hurt. But I didn't specifically know what happened at the time. But as a Raptor fan, that's not cool. I said my, I say, hey, and the Golden State Warriors don't care what I say. They're not listening to the show. But speaking as a diehard Raptor fan, I say we're sorry for that. And I don't condone that. I saved a kid after last night from the game, man. His father was trying to calm him down, man. And this, you know, it was a father and son, you know, guy was probably in his mid-20s type of thing. And man, he started kicking things, but then he started punching like walls and stuff. And I think he probably already broke his hand, but like, I went up to him and I pulled him away from the wall. I said, yo, kid, man, there's still two games left in the series. We didn't lose yet. Like, chill out, you know? Yeah, I was all right. I actually took it pretty well. I just didn't like the, you know,
you
I didn't
did.
Like some of the
you
internet trolling.
No, I know. We got a couple new guys on the line, too, calling, yeah, Toronto City of Losers. Like, yeah, I've heard it all. Like, you know what I mean? Just whatever. You're not going to do anything that we haven't heard before. But you said it, Morency.
No, I wasn't in a panic after.
Yeah,
I took it pretty well.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I'll tell you something, George. When Gabe gives me the late-night call after the game, we've had a lot crazier. Like, you were almost like, it was kind of weird. Like, you were kind of had like a shock, sadness. Not anger. It was kind of like, you know what I mean? You're like, yeah, Cam. And I go, yeah, can't we just get one when you pay this much money for the tickets? Like, can't you just get, like, it was one of those things like, come on. Like, can I get something? I went to the game. Can we get the win at home? Like, nothing comes. It was a nothing comes easy type of reaction that we're very, very used to, because nothing does come easy. You got to work your ass off for it. But you said it, Gabe. It's not over. And I really believe they're going to win game six.
No, and you know, Jordan Kovacs brings up a very good point, actually, in our chat. It says, what's the difference between cheering, people cheer when a UFC fighter gets knocked out and gets hurt?
Yeah, it's a good point, man. Good point.
Yeah,
we
it's sort of like,
remember?
The difference
when
would be,
Dan
though, that's
Henry's
his goal, though,
in a sense.
The other guy.
Yeah.
You know, your goal is to, that's like a boxer, UFC, wrestling, your goal is to hurt the other guy. It's like in a hockey fight. I will cheer. You know, if Matt Martin beats up on somebody, that's the goal. Assuming it's another fighter, I will cheer for that. That's the goal of a fight there. So I think that's a little different there. But it's all fan bases, guys. We all do it. Listen, I know it's a little bit off topic here, but I'm sure there's a certain amount of Yankee fans who are like, oh, David Ortiz probably deserved to be shot because of all the damage Ortiz did to the Yankees over the years.
That's
it's
crazy.
Just the way certain fans
you see, that's nuts, George. Come on. The guy was shot with
but
a
I'll guarantee
gun.
You.
I don't care
sir,
what he's
if
done.
If the Yankees would have put up a thing today for Ortiz at Yankee Stadium saying, hey, we wish all our best to Ortiz, there'd be a certain smattering of boos.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee
Yeah, there'd be a few.
There's no way everyone's cheering.
There'd be a few catcalls.
That's pretty sick. That's pretty sick. Gabe, I remember
you
the
know,
fight
but generally,
that we were at. With Bisping and Henderson, remember we thought Bisping was dead? Like, he got knocked out so
hard he wasn't
moving. And people were like, what? Yeah, then we had money on it. And then we're staying there for a minute, George. Like, the guy didn't move for a while. Like, we thought he was dead. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, it was a crazy knockout. But people were cheering for that. Yeah, people are savages. That's the bottom line, Gabe. People are savages. Don't know what else to tell you.
People suck.
Yeah. And I'll thank Vecchio. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People suck.
We're all jerks, George.
Yeah, you know, we're all guilty of it.
We're an I-me society, man. I-me. It's all about me.
Yeah. I generally don't take sports this seriously, but the Raptors, I do love them, and it just, you know, you get emotional, man. All right. Game time decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
George Kurtz joining us. Updated NBA final series price right now. Toronto Raptors still a heavily favored, minus 320. Raptors minus 320, Warriors plus 230. You know, it's they stretch these games out for far too long, though. It's so freaking annoying.
I know.
And
Thursday?
Even,
are you kidding me?
Yeah. Really? I know. Monday to Thursday, and then Thursday, you know, Thursday to Sunday again. It is. It's ridiculous. You lose the momentum of it, but their whole goal is to just stretch it out. Stretch it out and get it into multiple weekends. That's, and now you know they're going to want a game seven. The Raptors are going to be in tough on the road here. So we talked about the guy with the St. Louis Blues ticket a lot through the playoff run here, and now, the Boston Bruins are minus 170 to win the Stanley Cup. The St. Louis Blues are plus 145. The total is 5.5 in this game. Of course, this guy, he got the Blues at 250 to 1. He put $400 on it, so it pays $100,000. He's been offered $37,900, so a little under $38,000 for his $400 ticket. Right now, going into game seven. I didn't think he should sell Cab. You and I were sort of on the same page through this, take it game by game. I did go on record and state it's time to sell. After when they were up 3-2, he got offered $76,000 for it. It's like, bro, you put $400 in, you're getting 75K. Yes. Take the edge off, take the stress off now, and bet on the game if you want.
I agree.
Yeah, get a little extra rush here. Now you're going into game seven. I would advise them to take the $37,000. Because either way, dude, you're going to, if they win, you'll have $37,000 and you're going to be so happy. You're a diehard Blues fan anyway. So you're going to have $38,000 and the Blues won the cup. Or if they lose, you got $38,000 back. I don't think he's going to sell at this point in time. But George, what would you do if you were the Blues fan? Would you sell the ticket if the Blues win and he gets $100,000? If they lose, he gets nothing. But he can sell the ticket right now at prop swap for $37,900. Would you sell it?
Game seven, on the road. Your goaltender may have played the worst game of his season in game six. I think, knowing me, I think I would take the money. If it was at home, I might feel differently. Even though the Blues have played much better on the road than they have at home this postseason, I think banking on a game seven, that fan base is going to be going nuts. I think I would take the money and run. And like I said, you want to put $5,000, an extra $5,000 on the game, the Blues to win, or whatever it might be, to recover some of your possible losses. I'm okay with that, but I am almost positive that I would take the money. I want to make sure I get paid. I might feel differently if it wasn't on the road, but on the road at Boston, didn't play well at all game six. Your goalie didn't play well either. Tuukka Rask right now looks like if you give up more than two goals, you're not going to win. He's just not going. He's playing too well right now. I take the money.
Cam?
Yeah. I'm with Gertz. Like, I hate to say it, I think the Blues actually will play better on the road, because at home they don't seem to have that spark. They play smarter. They almost like to be the villains, but you got to take the money, Gabe. For $400 investment, you said it too. You take the money, the team wins. You know, you're going to be happy. You still got a nice chunk of change. You can go on a nice vacation. You can bank a little bit away. You know, buy some Blues nostalgia memorabilia. You got to take the money. You have to. You have to take it.
We haven't had a game seven. We haven't had a game seven in the NHL since Boston played Vancouver. Hard to believe, actually, in 2000.
Yeah, the game I was
2011.
Wow, when they burned down the city. Yeah. Wow.
See, one thing is the St. Louis Blues. Now, listen, the Boston Bruins have a lot of guys that haven't won before, but they also have a few guys that have been around that were on that team in 2011 that were on in the finals again. And it's the pedigree thing. It's, you know, now you're going into the city of Boston, who, for one reason or another, man, are like, you know, they're good. They deserve, like, you know, Boston sports. Yeah, it's the city of champions right now. And, you know, even if you hate them, you got to admit it. They just find ways to win. I mean, there's something about them right now. And similar to Golden State, their winning pedigree came through. Home teams are 12-4 in Game 7s of Stanley Cup Finals. Home teams are 12-4 in Game 7s of Stanley Cup Finals, although the road team has won each of the last two. Pittsburgh in 2009, Boston in 2011. And, you know, you guys talked about it, the St. Louis Blues. 9-3 in the playoffs on the road. They've been much better on the road than they have been at home for one reason or another throughout the playoffs. And like Craig Berube says, George, said, if you told me 4 months ago we were going to be in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, I'd take it. So here they are right now. It comes down to one game, but they're in tough right now.
What's he going to say, though? Oh, of course he's going to say that after they lose Game 6. And if you told him after Game 5, he'd be up 3-2. He wants to win Game 6. So, yeah, I get it. No one expects the Blues to be here. And they've been incredible on the road. For whatever it means, less pressure, not trying to put on a show for the fans, whatever. They've been much better on the road than at home. But I think Game 7 is just a different animal. Now, granted, it's one game. We all know a bounce here, a bounce there. That crazy bounce goal that went in off Binnington for, like, the third goal of the game in Game 6. You know, any kind of bounce like that could turn the game. Both teams, early in the first period, their defensemen throwing pucks over the glass for penalties. I didn't expect that. Boston took advantage. It was a 5-on-3 power play. St. Louis did not. In my mind, that was probably a turning point right there. St. Louis, you look early in that game, they had the early power play, didn't score. Ryan O'Reilly, before it was 5-on-3, when it was 5-on-4, had the short, had the breakaway, had the puck slip off his stick. If either one, if they score a goal on that power play, or if O'Reilly scores on that breakaway, maybe it's a different game. Maybe the pressure is off here. But I just wonder what's going to happen here, Game 7, if Boston scores first. And I think they'll come out flying. You know, I think, listen, if St. Louis can withstand the first 5, 7, 8 minutes of the game, I think we'll have a game. I think it'll be close. But if Boston scores a goal, God forbid, too, if Bennington's not quite feeling, if he's more nervous, if he is nervous, you know, you say, hey, do I look nervous? Well, maybe he is a little nervous. Didn't look good in Game 6. You know, between that bounce goal, between that snapshot from the top of the circle, I know it was placed perfectly under the bar, but still, it wasn't like it was a 99-mile-per-hour snapshot. That's got to be stopped. I thought Bennington didn't look good, so I have worries about the Blues.
I'm still in on the Blues.
You think they're going to get it done
on
the road here?
Talked to Hanser about this last night. I'm not. Yeah, it's just one of those things that 5-on-5, I still think they can play with Boston. The problem with St. Louis, too, is I don't know what the hell they're doing, but Berube, with every minute you got to come up with a new sequence on your power play. Your power play sucks. It's a real problem. Like, Boston's always having guys moving. They set up nice, crisp passes end-to-end, going top shelf. St. Louis does not move their feet on the power play. And another thing, you have big bruising forwards, lumbering guys. Put your ass in Tuukka Rask's face, and guys on the point, they try to be so pretty. It's weird. When St. Louis has the power play, they change their stripes. Like, it's weird. When they play 5-on-5, they're like ass kickers. They work hard, Gabe. They hit everything that moves. On the power play, they're lazy. They give up shorthanded goals. They got it. It's just unbelievable. They're always trying for the pretty pass. Get a guy in front of the net. It can go off your leg, your ass, the tackle, anything on your body. Pound, pound, pound Tuukka Rask. He's got to let in a cheap goal, and then things will be different. I'm still believing in the Blues. They can win on the road. To George's point, if the Boston Bruins don't score early in that game, I'll like St. Louis even more.
You're right, Cam. Everything you said, you're bang on with the St. Louis Blues. You know, when they play 5-on-5, they grind you out. They just flick the puck at the net. They come in second waves. If you notice a lot of the Blues' goals, when the Blues are playing well, they create chances with their pressure, and then they sort of counterattack, and they'll bang in the rebound. You know what I mean? There's like a first wave, and then there's a second wave of them come in, and they crash the net, and they bang it in. They're not. You're right. On the power play, it's pass, 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 like slap shot. Like, it's just so. Yeah, it's just so rudimentary. And, you know, my deal is I can't go against Boston in this spot now. And listen, Bruin fans are going to say, oh, God, no, don't do this, Morency. They're going to think I'm trying to push them on purpose, because I don't know if I've taken Bruins in one play. I took the Bruins in one playoff game, and they lost against Columbus. The one game they lost, I was on them.
Take them again.
But now I think the Bruins are going to win, guys. I mean, how about this for Tuukka Rask? So Tuukka Rask has a 9.38 save percentage in the playoff.
Wow.
In elimination games, it rises to 9.73. 145 saves on 149 shots in elimination games. I mean, this guy really is playing like some of the greatest hockey out of any goal. This is like one of the best playoff runs ever. You know, we talk about, like, you know, Patrick Waz and, like, you know, some of these goalies that have sort of won their team the cup. I don't really know if Rask is ever going to get enough credit for this. I mean, without Rask,
I agree with you. 100%. Exactly. You put Halak in there, it's over in four.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. George Kurtz, Stanley Cup Finals, NBA. Check in with David Ortiz's health and more. The baseball board. Game time decisions continue.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're serious about fantasy football, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season, and Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Matic and the Roto Experts provide dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with the promo code FNTSY. The NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, only at rotoexperts.com.
Well done, Cam. Well done. McKinnis told me to check out his Twitter, but I'm seeing, like, basically Twitter's blowing up still about the Kevin Durant stuff. But thing is, people are posting a fake video from a bar and stuff. It's the same stupid shot of that Chris Collinsworth slide-in. You know the slide-in, George? People were going crazy when Chris Collinsworth would slide in to the TV shot. And it sort of became a running gag. And the crowd, there was like a bar shot that showed the crowd going crazy when Collinsworth popped up on TV. But it was really an English game. So people are like sending out this Twitter. And it's all over online about, oh, a bar cheering. It's not. It's... They superimpose the screen on like it's like Photoshop and stuff. So that's the stupidity of all of this. But you know, I said it earlier, man. I caught on. I don't know what it was. Like Drake's a pretty chill dude. Like whether you like him or dislike him, his music or whatever, but Drake's actually a nice guy. And Drake is friends with pretty much everybody in the NBA. He's a Raptor fan, but he's friends with everybody in the NBA. And you look like Drake got drunk in the first game and it got pretty nasty right away, Cam. He went after Draymond Green and then Klay Thompson and Durant waited for Drake in the hallway and started trash talking him, like, but not kind of joking trash talk. Like it sort of got, it went from 0 to 60 fast. Their owner shoved Kyle Lowry. Now, you know, you had the booing and the cheering last night for Kevin Durant's injury. You know, it's been an ugly series. I've noticed like it's, I thought it would be, listen, you're playing for a title, so it's not going to be fun. But I thought it'd be more respectful. It has been kind of ugly this series. Like, there's a lot of tension with the players. I think, guys, it's just part of it. And listen, Warrior fans have been good, man. I mean, Raptor fans went in there, took the building over, and they didn't. Now, nothing bad happened, right? So Warrior fans aren't like Raider fans. Warrior fans have been good, but there has been some. I don't know. I could just sense sort of an ugliness around this series, and I spotted it, and I talked about this after game one even. But I think with sports guys in the age that we are right now, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Everything just like at some point, like you guys said, like people are like laughing when people get shot now even. Oh, screw him. He's a Red Sox, right? Like we're, you know, we always looked at sort of England and the hooligans and all that type of stuff and thought they were nuts. But, you know, it's just, I think we take it too seriously. The social media stuff is anything but social. People are frustrated with their own life. They're angry. And then it sort of just, it culminates. And then they say crazy things online, George, or at sporting events.
Well, I think you hit it perfectly with your last statement there. They're annoyed about their own lives. So they take it out on sports. Sports is a release, right? And if things don't go your way, well, now you're mad at that too. So you got to take it out somewhere. You bet social media is certainly not social. No one's being nice on social media. Everyone's a Twitter warrior behind a keyboard and a screen. You know, everyone's all of a sudden 6'4" and built like Luke Voigt, you know, where you can beat up anybody, where you would never say these things in person to anyone. But that's the society we live in nowadays. And I don't know if that's changing anytime soon. I think it's because of Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, all the videos we can see. We see everything now. Nothing is really beyond us. We get to see all the dumb plays, the bad plays, the bloopers, whatever you want to call it. And they're not as funny now. They're annoying because maybe it cost you a fantasy. Maybe it cost you money betting. So you take your anger out on the players, out on the team, out on the fan base. You know, everyone's to blame except you.
And what happens as well, we've seen this in Buffalo. I know this is being a Bills fan. That, and it's something in Toronto, Cam. It all culminates into one, bro. You know what I mean? The Toronto Maple Leafs, like the Raptors, the, you know, the losing, the constant bashing of the city, of being a city of chokers. And it's just, it's, I remember, like, you know, I was guilty of it. I remember I realized I used to take out, like, 40 years of frustrations of being a Bills fan at the time on Fitzpatrick, right? It was like it was all his fault. They're like, we suck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just sort of channeled it on him. I was like, man, it's his fault. And, you know, you're the reason we're not winning. And it culminates year after year after year. And I'm not going to lie, it does. You know, it does. I don't know how many more of these meltdowns I can go through, Cam, every year in a playoff. That's why last night I didn't melt down after. I got pissed off after online a bit. But there was no kicking. I didn't kick anything. I didn't hit anything. I didn't argue with anybody. In fact, I was actually telling people on the streets, go, it's okay, chill out. It's going to be fine. And like you said, I was more depressed than anything. Yeah, you know, I wasn't like, you know, it's a game, guys. You know, you got to remember that. We got to worry about our own lives more. I think we get caught up in this stuff.
Yep.
Listen, it's one thing to get caught up, and this is a thing that I don't experience very often. I'm not really like, I'm a big sports fan, but as I've gotten older, I don't take it as seriously. Like I used to be upset about the Bills losing a Super Bowl for months after. Yeah, I'm not going to, I wouldn't be upset for months. You know, I'll be upset for a day or two now or something, but you know, and I'm a fan. Like we bet on the games. So I'm sort of used to losing, you know what I mean? You win, you lose, and, you know, I watch every team, so I'm not really locked in. It's really just, like, you know, the Raptors that I get this emotion. The Bills were never in the freaking playoffs. So, you know, it's not the same. And it's different in the NBA playoffs, man. It's like a two-month thing. It's just, you know, it's like the World Cup. There's the buildup in between games and, you know, the constant buildup. And it just, it, like I said, it's like 25 years of frustration of being a team's fan can sort of culminate in one night for a lot of people.
I also think it's, you know, because Canada's there too. It's Canada versus, you know, California type of thing. And a lot of people, it's just weird. Even though I love George and, you know, Joe's Fish Market and all the guys there, it almost feels like it's kind of gay. Yeah, the anger is almost feeling political. It's not just about the sports anymore. It's very, very odd, and I don't like it. To your earlier point about Buffalo, I've gone as a Leaf fan to Buffalo many, many times, and some of the Leaf fans there were disgusting. They were horrible, the things that they would say about, you know, the city of Buffalo and the way it was, and to me, that's deplorable. I don't see any pleasure in it. I don't like to kick somebody when they're down there, Gabe. And it's just one of those things. And we see it a lot more now. It's just become nastier and nastier. And I agree with your analogy. Soon it's going to be like a British type thing. We go to the wrong pub, you're going to get a Glasgow kiss, a nice mug right through the top of your skull pretty soon, because there's just a lot of anger in the world, period.
And now I see Kyle Lowry, actually. Kyle Lowry is getting attacked on Twitter now because he missed a shot. Now, I doubt any really hardcore Raptor fans are doing this, but people are encouraging it. And, oh, Kyle Lowry, ha, 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 missed the three-point shot. He sucks. And this is the era we're in, man. You know, people will log off this stuff. I'm starting to see why, you know. There's just so much negativity, and it's over the top. People that have never accomplished anything. Number one, Kyle Lowry never should have been the one to take that shot. Yeah, we could relive that. There's so many things in a game like this. You could say, well, that happened and this happened. To me, you know, Nick Nurse never should have called that damn timeout, which I don't know. It's tough. Like, you know, you can't analyze a game when you're in the stands and you're drinking, and it's not the same as when you're watching on TV. But when they were down one, I don't know why Kawhi Leonard passed the ball. I just don't get it. Like, you know, he went into the paint. He was at the free throw line. Take it to the rack, man. Take it to the rack. You're going to get fouled. You probably would have scored. Like, they would have won the title. He, you know, Van Fleet wasn't, he was semi-open, but only for a brief second. Van Fleet didn't shoot it right away, and he gets it to Lowry. And I tell you what, Lowry was the last person to thought he was going to get that at that point in time.
Exactly.
You know, when Kawhi Leonard was going into the paint.
Surprised.
Yeah, it was just like Kawhi really, I'm not blaming Kawhi Leonard, but Kawhi Leonard really should have hung on to the basketball and taken it to the rack there. I mean, that's what he gets paid for. You're Kawhi Leonard. It's on you right there, you know?
I agree, Gabe. The whole play looked weird. It looked convoluted. Lowry had a horrible angle. Like, that play had no chance, and I was with you. The first thing me and Haynes were saying was drive. Wanted Kawhi,
Draymond
take
got
it
a piece
to the hole,
of it too.
Get a call. Yes, he did. He did get a piece of it. Got to give Draymond Green a lot of credit. His defense is, man, he hustles his ass off on defense, makes a lot of good plays. Now, I'll tell you, though, Gabe, yeah. I just saw Ranieri's tweet, too, about the 3.5. I think a lot of people are going to think the Warriors are going to force it to 7. Maybe the line gets up to 4, 4.5. I'm smashing money line and spread. I'm telling you, game 6, buddy. I see the vision, the crystal ball. It's here.
Oh, yeah, we're going back in. We're going back in. Well, it's too late to turn back now. We've got two more cracks left at this thing to try to become just the second team in NBA history to blow, not to blow a 3-1 series lead. Ironically enough, the other team, the Golden State Warriors. All right, George, you're hot on the diamond. You betting any baseball tonight?
I'm looking at parlays tonight, guys. I got 3 parlays. I'm trying to find a 4th because I want to do 2 different parlays here. I like the Yankees tonight. Paxton has been money at home. Terrible on the road, but money at home against the Mets. And I think the Yankees will hit Vargas. I know Vargas has been very good as far as you can make a pretty good argument that Vargas has been the Mets' most consistent pitcher all year long. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Don't hear
but
that
you can,
very
you
often.
You can make that argument. Right, that's amazing for a guy who can't break a pane of glass with his fastball. But I think he gets beat up tonight by the Yankees. So I like the Yankees tonight against the Mets in the second game of doubleheader. Washington is another one I like. Corbin going tonight. I think that's a game I want to bet. And the Dodgers. So I got 3 teams that I like in this parlay. I don't want to do a 3-team parlay. I want to do 2-2 teams. I am just struggling to find that that 4th game right now that I can parlay with these other 3.
Captain Shock.
Minnesota?
Kurtz is...
It's raining in Minnesota. That's the game I'm looking at, Cam. That is the game, but it's misting, raining in Minnesota. Although everything I'm here, I'm looking at the latest weather just now that's been put up there. It looks like they're going to be able to play through it without a problem, maybe no delays. But sometimes I always wonder, he's playing it. They don't like hitting in the rain, that sort of thing. The Twins, Martin Perez is pitching. But that is likely the one I'm going to end up going with.
Guys, the USA Washington and Women's World Cup Soccer, Gabe,
yeah,
they beat Thailand 13-0. 13-0.
Yeah, they beat down Thailand.
13-0. Wow. I know goal differential. That's a big one. 13-0. Wow.
Bad soccer karma doing that. Remember Team Canada did that in the World Junior Championships? They beat someone like 16-0 or something. And just because you can doesn't mean you have to, right? Usually in soccer, 10 is the number. 10 is the number. It's like, all right, it's 10-0, sort of ease up a bit. I get it. Yeah. You know, the tournament just started. They hadn't been playing well either, so they're about goal differential and stuff. And I'm not going to rip them for it. You know, they train all year. It's every 4 years. They're going to show up. Exactly. It is what it is. But I didn't see the game. It's just it's a little excessive. When you're up 10-0, it's sort of that's when you're supposed to sort of say, hey, it's, you know.
Yeah.
You don't often see 11-0, 12-0, 13s and upwards like this, right?
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Because of
no,
that.
Don't.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Well, I was going to say, White Sox, big dogs here tonight on their home field, but Washington are actually starting to play better.
Washington only six games out now. They're playing a lot better here. And Manny Benuelos, ex-Yankee there.
He's horrible.
I'm not feeling him tonight
that guy
at all.
Is horrible.
Corbin's been a little off late as well. But, yeah, Benuelos, I like Washington a lot tonight. I don't think they're going to – I just can't see them blowing this game. Can't see it.
George Kurtz, thanks for joining us, George.
Kurtz.
Anytime, guys. Good luck tonight.
Yep. Talk to you Saturday, Kurtz.
Absolutely.
Needed the luck last night, free. George.
Well, maybe Thursday night.
Colonel Kurtz. I like gang. We're still in the north. Yeah, we're still in the north.
Yeah, you got it.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's true too, Cam. You know what? Kyle Lowry, he took that shot. I was literally sort of was right in front of us. We were on that side.
Yeah.
So I had a good angle of it when it went up, and I knew the second it went up, man, it was not going in.
Like
it got tipped by Draymond Green, but yeah.
Even on TV, no, it was never going in. It was never going in.
No, it wasn't going in.
I think the Raptors are going to win game six, man. I think the Raptors did a lot better.
That's what I've been
when
saying.
When Kevin Durant left the game. Look at that deficit that they came back from to take the lead, to go up six. I mean, they made a couple, errors at the end of the game, kind of, you know, let the Warriors get right back in there to tie it up and go up one. But I think with Kevin Durant not in that lineup and the way the Raptors are playing, they're going to take it game six.
I'm with you.
I hope you're right, Yang. They're 3-0, 3-0 in. They're 3-0 against the Warriors. I was going to say I don't know if they lost in California. Did they lose to the Lakers this year? The Clippers? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
But they have been good on the road, so we do have that. It's a good point that Yang raises too. When it was 1-0, they were up by six. I think it was. At the time, what was the score? 103.97.
It was like
103.97 at the time. So Curry hits a shot to make it 103-100. He misses that shot. The Raptors win. It came down to, the Warriors were on their, you know, you got to give them credit, man. And I do give them credit, the Warriors, for that. Their championship pedigree, they were on the freaking ropes. They were literally a shot away from losing at the end of the game with Kyle Lowry, but they were a shot away of losing if Curry misses and Thompson misses, but they both came through massively. And, you know, I got to give them credit. I do. It's not just that the Raptors lost the game. I mean, the Warriors won the game. They dug down deep. They found a way to win it. The Toronto Raptors are going to have to dig down deep and find a way to learn to win. They haven't been there. They haven't done it. Until you're there, you know. Ugh. All right, K-Pat Division, level one in the books.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
They said it, Moretti, hour one of the book. Stay tuned, Red Heat Range Radio, hour two after the update. I'm Cam Stewart. Hey, everybody. Game one of the MLB doubleheader in New York City. Yankees smoking the Mets 12-5, the final. Tanaka gets the win. Wheeler, the loss. Urshela, a home run and four RBI for the pinstripe. Game goes way over the number. Women's World Cup soccer. You want to talk about smoking the USA all over Thailand. No misprint. 13-0. 13-0, the final. Wow. In other action, Netherlands beat New Zealand 1-0, and Sweden taking out Chile 2-0. Warrior star Kevin Durant in New York City today for an evaluation of his Achilles injury. Golden State saying KD was slated to undergo an MRI on his right leg today. The team believes the results will confirm a torn right Achilles tendon. He suffered the no-contact injury in the second quarter of last night's game. He played just 12 minutes prior to Monday, hadn't played since May 8th due to that right calf strain. KD not even close to 100% when he took the floor. Game six, we see we got to wait till Thursday. This is what Gabe and I'm talking about. It's absolutely nuts. Shifting back to California, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Current betting line, Warriors 3-point favorites, minus 150 on the money line. Raptors plus 3 and plus 130 total. A little bit low here, 211 updated series price. Toronto minus 330, Golden State plus 270. And more NBA news. Marvin Williams has exercised his $15 million option to remain with the Charlotte Hornets for 2019-2020. The veteran averaging 10.1 points, 5.4 rebounds, and 1.2 assists, almost a steal and a block per game as well. The Pelicans say there's no urgency or panic to move star Anthony Davis before the upcoming June 20th draft. The New Orleans Pelicans have begun providing potential suitors a framework for a possible trade, including multi-team and players. All of the LA and New York franchises, Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, and Nets, all inquired about Davis. The Memphis Grizzlies have hired Milwaukee Bucks assistant Taylor Jenkins as their head coach today. He worked under Mike Budenholzer with the Hawks and Bucks, also coached the San Antonio Spurs G League affiliate. We got David Ortiz, good news there from the hospital, expected to make a full recovery. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, back in Boston, even flashing that trademark smile today. He was shot in his native Dominican Republic, and it looks like a full 100% recovery is on the horizon. NFL news. The New Orleans Saints have inked defensive end Cameron Jordan to a three-year, $52.5 million extension. That includes $42 million guaranteed. The soon-to-be 30-year-old will earn $74.5 million if he plays out the next five seasons and hits all incentives. Jordan posted 12 sacks in 2018 and has reached a double-digit sack mark four out of the last 8 years. He's also a four-time Pro Bowler. Jalen Ramsey in line for a massive payday, but it's not coming soon, according to the Jaguars. The Jacksonville corner said the team told him a contract extension will not go down this season. Ramsey, not a happy guy, going to Twitter and social media saying he's going to ask for so much money, they're going to have to put him on a layaway payment plan. Yeah, so we'll see what happens with this one. 2 years remaining on the deal. The Jaguars exercised his $13.7 million five-year option for 2020. Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck's going to miss minicamp with a calf injury. He's expected back for training camp. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow night in Boston. Bruins now minus 170, total 5.5. Blues plus 145. So we'll see what happens there. One thing's for sure, that series in the Stanley Cup Finals is going to be over Wednesday night. Rest of the MLB betting board. Game 2 of the doubleheader. Yankees and Mets. We got the Yanks minus 250 in this baseball game. Vargas and Paxton. Two more at 7:05. Jays minus 120 at Baltimore. Thornton versus Means, 9 is your total. Arizona at Philly. The Phillies, $1.40 favorites, 9. Duplantier and Arrieta, 7 at 7:10. Battle of Ohio, Cincy, Cleveland, Indians -138.5. Castillo versus Bauer. Oakland and Tampa, the Rays laying 60 cents, 9. Fires and Stanek. Texas at Boston, Red Sox minus 180, 10.5. Heredo and Hernandez. St. Louis laying 50 cents at Miami. 8 is your total. Hudson and Hernandez. Fulte and Archer go at 7:20. Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Braves minus 150 in that game. 4 more at 8:10 Eastern. Washington -185 at the White Sox. 9.5. Corbin and Benuelas. We got Milwaukee and Houston. Astros small favorites. Only 120. 8.5. Peralta versus Peacock.
Seattle and Minnesota, Twins minus -195. Leaky Roof and Perez, 9.5 is your total. Detroit and Kansas City, we got the Royals with Cheese laying 45 cents. 8.5 is your total. Turnbull and Junis, 840. Cubs, they're laying minus -135 at Colorado. 12 is your over-under. Quintana versus Lambert, who was great in his debut. San Diego, minus -150 at San Francisco. Paddock versus Beattie, over-under 8. And the Dodgers, minus -160 at the LA Angels. 9.5, Maeda versus Pena. That's a 10:07 start. Rory McIlroy, now the co-favorite for the U.S. Open that gets going at Pebble Beach this Thursday. He's 8-1. Dustin Johnson, the co-favorite, 8-1. Brooks Koepka, 9. And Tiger Woods, he is listed at 12-1, the fourth biggest favorite on the board. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned. Gabe Morency hosts Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio. So stick around, everybody. Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage coming up now.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, we're in the level two. All it takes for Cam to forget about the Raptors is some U.S. Open golf. It's like when Homer Simpson worked at the bowling alley, and he got fired. And everyone missed them. They're like, we're going to miss you, Homer. Everyone's all depressed and they're all crying. And somebody says, you know what will make us feel better? Bowling. And they start bowling again.
I haven't gone bowling
in so long.
That's
how I think of you.
You know what can make Cam feel better?
Yeah, I haven't been bowling in years. I don't think I've been bowling since we bowled in Las Vegas, to be honest.
I agree with you, Gabe. I think that's the last time we bowled. There's actually a really nice lane down the street from me where they have like tournaments and stuff. Classic bowl. It's a winner. Yeah, they got good food in those bowling alleys, too. If you're looking for, a nice I noticed that they got, like, chip truck food, you know, the good burgers, dogs, and fries. And I might just pop in for crush some pins and crush some food.
I can see you on a bowling team.
Yeah,
yeah, you and Fizine Fence, fast-talking Mike. Yeah.
Pals.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I didn't tell you what happened last night at the bar, Gabe. Wingate. I couldn't put it all in Twitter, and I had a good time there, but I gave Shano $50. I said, keep the beers rolling, and we had a really good time, but I decided to buy some wings for me and the crew, so I dropped $60. I got, about 4 or 5 pounds of wings, whatever, threw them all down on the table. I go to take a leak. The lady takes the basket full of wings off the table, not even eating whatever. I snapped. I go, you know what? I go, are you going to reimburse me? She goes, what? I go, you got to ask somebody before you take their food. I got to tell you something. When you left, buddy, people were not impressed. I told Hainser, I go, grab a cab. We'll split it 20-20. We'll tip the guy. Let's go back and watch the Raptor game in Mississauga. I couldn't spend any more money there. Like, they already fleeced me for $110.
That's unbelievable. Well, I guess the place got crazy packed after, too, right? It already was crazy
packed. Yeah, but you don't touch people's food, Gabe. I would never take your wings.
No. I don't. I can't.
Yeah, like Wingate,
yeah.
They were no. I saw Sean. I was talking to his old man. Like he said, I started getting a little surly after that. I'm like, no one takes my wings. Like there was a lot of them, Gabe. It's not like there was one left in the thing. Like I was livid.
Yeah. See, things got ugly last night.
Yeah.
What was it meant to be? Well, look, I'm going to be sober I'm going to be sober for the next two Raptor games. I won't be in a bar because, we have the show. They play Thursday, and then maybe they play Sunday again. Either way, you know what I mean? I don't like I don't like drinking during the week.
Yeah.
Game time decision. Red Heat Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Decisions Ready for Big Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. See a story here. It's interesting. The soccer league in Spain, La Liga, they were fined. I think it's 500,000 euros. I guess it would be euros by the Spanish Data Protection Agency. 1 year after admitting that its mobile app was spying on users' phones in an attempt to find out who watches games on illegal feeds.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it's come to.
I don't know
if they were trying to find people, charge them.
They don't know your tendencies? You think that line went? Oh, come on, man. Like, you said it.
Apps are like TV's the biggest, apps are the biggest vehicles to spy on people too. I'm not an expert on this stuff. I don't really like apps all that much because I know that because it's frustrating. So these apps are cool, Cam. All right, do this on your phone, watch this on your phone. But it basically says like to get it in the fine print, it says we can access your phone. You know what I mean? It's like, exactly. Well, you know, we need to know your location and we need to know, will you let, you know, so, and it says, it'll say this app needs to accept your video and your audio. And if you say no, it won't let you in the app, right? Exactly. So people just don't care anymore. They're like, all right, you know, whatever. And even me with a few apps. Like, look, I downloaded the Alliance Football League app. Dude, they sent me something about how to, like now they're sending me stuff. Like I get messages on my phone about how I should upgrade to their new app. It's like, you guys don't even exist, your league.
Don't even have a league.
I mean, like, what? You're probably just selling data on me. Like, I don't even know what your business is now. Like, I don't know what the hell you guys are even doing. Why do you have an app? Still active.
You don't have you don't have a football league, but they want to shake you down for something. That's brutal. That's crazy.
Yeah, everybody's information is worth something nowadays, right? I don't even understand the data world, how they profit off it as much as they do.
Apps do you have on your phone? How many do you got about?
Not too many. I got like the, you know, Mr. Green, Transit,
yeah,
New York
Mr.
Transit
Green.
App, stuff like that. Yeah.
Good call. Yeah, I got Mr. Green. I got Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, and the shopping app.
You actually have the KFC app?
Yeah, I do, because I really have a problem with their delivery service and number. They've really struggled over the years. They really encourage the app. Once you use the app, you get like free stuff too. You get little deals and coupons and stuff like that. And you know what? The Colonel's pretty expensive sometimes.
You order with the app, you're saying?
Yes, you can. Yeah, I still tend to use the paper coupons, but I have it for backup. It's a good app. I like the ones that come in the mail, the big pamphlet. Always nice. It's better. It's as good as getting a check when I see those KFC coupons.
I wouldn't mind some KFC right now. Actually, now you're talking about KFC.
That's what I'm feeling. Oh, buddy, I tell you, I don't know what it is, Morency, and you told me, and Lisa gave me the speech, and other people. I've noticed it this year as I'm getting older. Nothing satisfies anymore. Like, it's a real concern. My taste buds are all over the place. Like, I could have stuff. It's like, tastes the same. Like, a chicken turkey sub tastes like a meatball, tastes like what? Like, I don't get it. I'm sick and tired, and I love food. Like I got to find something new, buddy. Like, I got to get into different cuisines around the world with spices because regular stuff is not cutting it. Like, my favorite thing I had this week was a bowl of Vector. Like, I love the cereal. I'm going, ooh, new taste. I got problems.
I really haven't eaten much. I know what you mean. Like, I'm just, you know, like you said, you eat the same thing all the time. It just sort of gets, you know, you're going through the motions, and you do love food. And even you can't taste anything right now. Yeah, you need to start eating like some like real spicy, crazy stuff, like Indian foods and Chinese and stuff like that, or like, you know, Vietnamese with the Hot, you know, the stuff. Real spices, so you can that'll break the ice cap.
Stuff that the Yang will get in Spanish Harlem. Like, I want to be like dripping sweat after the meal. Like, it beat me up. I agree with you. Something new.
And I'm dripping sweat right now, but I think it's
fun, getting hot.
Actually.
It's getting hot here. It's fun.
Yeah.
But
I haven't eaten today, I haven't eaten anything today, Cam, literally. I woke up. I was in a hotel. I have to wake up early, like 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I sort of wake up automatically, like even if I drink. You know, it's sort of it's crazy. So I sort of popped up.
Like
I'm like, I'm like, God, they lost, right? You sort of think, I'm like, oh, I gotta get to the airport. Jazz is already gone. His flight was earlier than mine. So I was passed out. I didn't even hear him leave or anything like that. So I had to get to the airport. I didn't eat. When I handed out the snacks on the plane, I was sleeping. I could hear her ask me if I wanted something, but I was sort of half asleep. Yeah. I was like, yeah, whatever. And
sleep's
and here I am now. I got here right before the show. Like I haven't eaten anything. I got a little stomach pain about half hour ago, but and I'm more like you. I don't even want anything. Like what? I don't care. You know what I'm saying right now? It's depressing. Like, hey, I'm taking a loss, all right, but I'm not overly excited about everything. I mean, it was freaking expensive. I'm out of money now. I spent all this money to get a ticket to go to the game. I'm flying around everywhere they lose. And I'm not going to be in Game 7. I'll tell you that much, buddy. I'm seeing tickets right now.
Yeah, no, I'm
$2,500 USD on StubHub. Even though it's in Canada, the game, all prices are U.S. dollars on StubHub, no matter where the game is. So it's $2,500 just to get in the building. It's a lot of freaking money, man. And I will not be one of them that's going to be in the building. But probably a good thing I'm not. Listen, I don't even know if there's going to be a Game 7. Like you said, they might win on Thursday night, but I'm not good luck for this team. Like, I'm not.
I wouldn't
say
that. I wouldn't say, listen. I'm just going to tell you something. You got to listen to me for a sec. It's nice that you go to the games and stuff. It's not like you're bad luck. It's just when you go to the games live, never good things happen. You don't win CFL games when I win. Like, we have not. I don't remember the last time we've gone to a live sporting event where the team we've bet on has won since maybe the Las Vegas UNLV Running Rebels against the Oregon State Beavers like about 12 years ago.
That was in 2011.
Yeah, 2011. Well, you name a game. We went to the Argos game, playoff game, lost. Other game, they're due. They got smoked. The quarterback breaks his leg. His career's over. We were at that game. We go to every game we go to. You went to the Big East tournament. St. John's lost by 45. Like, I can go on and on and on. Yeah, I got a Jamaican patty. Look at this thing. So brutal. This thing sucks. You know what? I had a cup of soup today with crackers. What a loser meal that was. God, man, it was brutal. Cup of soup. Where's the
flavor? I can use that beef patty right now.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it next commercial break. When Yang says back to Kawhi action, yeah, that thing's going down. I needed something different. At least it's spicy. It's got a little bit of heat in it. I never get the mild.
If you think about it, though, Cam, it's true. Like, last year, too, you and I, we were at the games. I was at both those games. I was at all the games in that series. But we were there for that DeMar DeRozan screw job, remember, against the Cavs. And, you know, it's just, oh, God. Like, I've actually been in the building for so many of these horrible moments over the years. Because you know what it is? It's not my fault. It's just I go to the playoff games. So I'm at the big games often, and they don't win. It's not my fault. But I don't need to be there. I'm not there. Maybe they can win with me not there.
The other game that we went to when we went out with the Prez that night for the big stake, they won. They didn't cover, and we had Orlando tied with Toronto, so it actually wasn't. So I can add that to the list, too. We had a money line parlay with the Magic. And the Magic, like the only game they lost that month. We're on. Yeah, okay. Throw that in. Remember they were so hot,
I was
too? they lose.
I was at the Raptor-Brooklyn net game. Brooklyn beat them. I was at the Raptor-Nick game. The Raptors won, but the Knicks covered. You and I went to the Raptors-Spur game, to DeMar DeRozan night. Raptors won, but Spurs covered. I feel like there's another one I'm missing there. Whatever. Yeah, no, I got to tell you, Cam, it's true. You mentioned the Big East game. Oh, yeah, I went to the Rutgers-Michigan game, hammered Michigan. Rutgers covered. I could go on. Like you said, like, it's been a while since, like, I've left an arena where I was on the right side. Remember the Grey Cup you and I were at years ago? I was on Winnipeg plus the points. Remember? I covered that game. We're going back like 13 years now, though.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, thank you, gang. Good job. Level 2 continues. Fantasy Sports Zone Video Network, Game Time Precision, Fantasy and Rage Video. So we pick up the pieces following the Golden State Warriors Game 5 victory. Series goes on. Golden State Warriors, 3-point favorites right now. Thursday night in Oakland. Total is 211. Raptors plus 130 money line. Warriors in the minus 150 range, and Boston Bruins minus 170 over FanDuel right now. St. Louis Blues plus 145. So Kevin Durant comes back and gets injured, and I can't say I'm not surprised to hear. And I think Jalen Rose actually brought this up last week and warned them that this was going to happen. You know, the Warriors were starting to panic. They're down 3-1. In the series. Kevin Durant's a free agent. He hadn't played since May 8th. I don't think people thought it was going to take this long, the injury that he had. And, you know, I think he started to feel the pressure camp to come back. It clearly was not the right decision to come back. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard had a very similar situation with the San Antonio Spurs, in which they said he was okay to play. He came back. He got hurt. And yep. Remember, he came back and he got hurt against the Warriors. And then after, they said, no, you're good now again. It's fine now. And that's when Kawhi just was like, no, I'm not. I'm not playing. I'm not fine, and I don't trust your opinion. And remember, San Antonio were all pissed off because you know, Kawhi got a second and third opinion away from their team doctors. And the other doctors said, yeah, you shouldn't play. And then the Spurs and Popovich made it sort of seem like he was soft, right? And that's what he did last year. I mean, you remember in the playoffs, people can say, oh, pop this, pop that, how great he is. But Popovich threw him under the bus, and, you know, wrongfully so, when he said, LaMarcus Aldridge, I love the guy. He plays through pain no matter what. And for Kawhi Leonard, I don't think it was an instance of playing through pain. It was an instance of him knowing that if something happens, I'm going to be out for another year. I was already out for a year because of these bozos. And I'm not going to go through this again. And it's amazing that Kevin Durant, the biggest name in basketball, who's a free agent, actually just gets hurt in the exact same situation now. Like, I feel for him. I wouldn't cheer. I like Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? And I even wanted to play, so it's a fair series, and no one can bitch after, and it is what it is. So I had no problem with Kevin Durant playing yesterday. I wasn't like, oh, it sucks, he's back. But so I like Kevin Durant than most people actually do. But, you know, he's really screwed himself right now. I mean, there's talk right now, Cam, that Kevin Durant won't really be back until maybe like January or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Torn Achilles? That's huge.
Yeah, if he's going to be out.
It could be worse than that, yeah, like, it could be worse. Worse than that.
Yeah, he could be out for a year, right?
Yeah, yes. That's a best-case scenario, I'm thinking, around January. That's if things go well. It was kind of weird, though. I watch a lot of these shows. Like, the Golden State Warriors guy got all choked up last night, the GM or whatever, but there's no tears coming from his eyes. When you're really crying, tears come out of your eyes. Anyway, that was just something that I noticed when he was talking about Kevin Durant. Like, he was kind of, like, moaning and whining. Ah, blame me. You know, did you see that press conference clip there about that stuff? It was kind of weird. It felt odd.
Well, I see that Kevin Durant has a $31 million player option. With the Golden State Warriors. So he could stay. Like, he could just tell them, I'm not leaving, and he gets paid $31 million not to play next year, which they sort of owe him, like, to be honest now. I mean, look, he's a two-time NBA Finals MVP for them. He came back. He hit a bunch of points last year. You know, he did his thing for them. He definitely provided them a spark, and now he just screwed himself for the Golden State organization. I wouldn't be surprised now. It just changes everything. And it's amazing how and I don't want to make this about the Knicks, and I see we have our boy Tommy in the house saying it. Hey, what's up, Tommy? I wanted to get you earlier, Tommy. Tommy Z, what up, Riggs? But, you know, this is what it comes down to, that, you know, if you're the Knicks, you probably were getting him. You know what I mean? Like, you still could. You still could, but now you sign Kevin Durant. He probably doesn't play much next year. Or when he does, he comes back. It's basically a write-off next year. It's a rehab year. So, you know, it really changes a lot in the NBA landscape, actually, that the Knicks and I actually said this to someone yesterday. I think I said it to Jazz, who I went to the game with. I told someone yesterday, I said, man, Durant's going to come back. He's going to get hurt, and the Knicks are going to – and lo and behold, here we are right now. Like, you know, when the Knicks were watching this game last night, they're like, oh, God, no. Right? But that – I think Kevon Looney coming back, Cam, out of that collarbone stuff so quickly, there was definitely pressure. That's why the Golden State Warriors can say, you know, we blame ourselves, you know, now. Yeah, because internally you were putting pressure. There was a story that came out a couple of days ago about how Warrior players are, like, getting pissed at Durant. They think that he's holding out because you know, he's a free agent. You know, and now they see that. It was inevitable. It happened. You know, I don't know who's to blame for this. I guess sometimes in life, no one's to blame. It just is what it is. He's a competitor. He wanted to play. The Warriors wanted him out there. The fact that he's a free agent can't affect anyone's decisions when you're in the NBA Finals. I mean, you're trying to win a championship. That's what it's all about. So, you know, props to Kevin Durant for coming back. And I think Kevin Durant probably knew deep down inside that this was going to happen. Kev, there was a report a couple of days ago. I remember the day before the game that Kevin Durant practiced and he really couldn't get through more than like 10 minutes. Right? And that he had a severe limp. They had to put a bunch of ice in. The practice didn't go well. Right. So I'm sure he knew deep down inside, I'm not really ready to do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm a competitor and I'm Kevin Durant. And when we're down 3-1, then they expect me to try to help them here. But I bet you Kevin Durant deep down inside knew that this is going to happen.
That's an interesting take. I can tell you one thing, though, Gabe, when you really think about this, who's the big winner in all this? Davis, Anthony Davis. You have both of the New York teams. They've been inquiring. You know, Griffin. He says we're in no rush to do something before the draft.
Well, you should say the Pelicans. We're already putting offers together.
Yeah, and the Pelicans. Yes. Like, yeah, that's going to be the situation there, because when you talk about if Durant is going to be out that long, this is a guy. If you're a team like the Knicks, they're going to be, you know, they're all like teams are going to make a serious pitch and maybe even give a little bit more. Because think about it, Gabe. If Durant's not playing the whole year, AD's the number one. He's the number one guy, and there's going to be a lot of teams going in there to go, and they're going to overpay. That's what's like. I wish me and you were in the Pelicans organization. We're in the catbird seat right now, going, what are you going to do for me, man? What are you going to offer me? More.
It's going to be interesting. And I tell you too. They say, oh, the Pelicans met with AD to try to, you know, smooth things over, and I don't buy that either. I think they both know it's done. AD doesn't want to play there with or without Zion Williamson. He wants out. And the Pelicans are rightfully doing this, in which they basically are saying, no, you know what I mean? He could play here still. And, you know, we met with him and it's all good. Who wouldn't want to play with Zion Williamson? Because they don't want to lose leverage, right? They don't want everyone in the NBA to know that, hey, there's no way in hell he's going to play with you guys this year. You're going to have to do this. You're right, though. The bidding's going to be pretty high for Anthony Davis. I always thought the New York Knicks, want to win now, Cam, right? Like, I think the Knicks would rather have Anthony Davis, like old school AD, I'll call it.
I almost, who should I call? David Silver? I do the same thing. I know. I was going to call him Antonio Davis, too.
That's the settle down, Antonio.
Antonio.
Yeah, the old school. Antonio.
Hey, exactly. Antonio.
You called it. That's exactly it, Yang. Thank you.
Yes.
So, you know,
I'm with you. The Knicks will do it. They want
I bet the Knicks. They don't really want RJ Barrett. Like, RJ Barrett's good, but the Knicks don't have time to, like, develop a team. They're not the Atlanta Hawks. It's not a Cleveland Bear with us. It's New York, and they've sucked forever. And there, you know, there was so much hype about getting, you know, the top pick. They didn't get it. Now they got the free pick. You could still get a very good player. RJ Barrett's a really good player. Ja Morant, if for some reason he's not taking second overall, but he will be. You know, stuff can still happen. But if you're the Pelicans, the Knicks and the Pelicans are a perfect partner here. They are.
I agree.
They both 100%. Have what each other needs, right? Look, AD wants to play in New York. Is not against as opposed to playing in a big market with the Knicks. They could get Davis. They could bring in a Kyrie Irving. They could, like, bring in somebody else. So they have money for that. If you're the Pelicans, AD doesn't want to be there, man. Right? He's pretty much made this. It's pretty freaking clear. And quite frankly, I wouldn't want him there if I was you guys either. So
exactly.
You need to trade him.
He's a cancer to the team.
You don't
now.
Want to trade him for the Lakers. He's in your conference. The Lakers are in the conference. It seems like they didn't want to do the Lakers, right? For, like, because he wanted it and they weren't going to get bullied into this. They might do the Laker deal now. I don't know. Now it becomes down to, all right, what can the Knicks offer? Well, the Knicks could give the 3 pick. They're going to have to give up a hell of a lot more than that. Future picks and some players to make the package attractive. But, and I don't even know if they want to reunite Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett, right? But it's a possibility if you were the Pelicans. You trade AD to the Knicks. You get the 3rd pick. You draft RJ Barrett. And then suddenly you've got Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett, which is basically, you know, was the hottest tandem in college basketball. And they do get along. They can play well together. Doesn't mean that they want to. I don't know the scenario here, but it's something that could be out there.
You got Anthony Davis to the Knicks at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Gabe. This is kind of like the Minnesota Twins bet. Bet it. That's where I love that play.
They have draft prop. They don't have the special prop up yet, but they're pretty good at that. And they only have who's the number one pick. Pretty obvious. The number one pick. -8,000, I believe.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Want 2 risk-free wagers up to $1,000? Go to pointsbet.com, /grid, and open up a points bet sports wager account. Enter the promo code GRID. You'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where the customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet by. For example, if you bet the Chargers -2.5 and they cover the spread by 8, you'll receive 8 times your stake. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get your 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000 today. $1,000. Nice.
And you can lay down on the U.S. Open this week as the U.S. Open heads over to Pebble Beach. Wednesday's our big golf day. I sent we sent a request over to our boy Dan Daly. I don't know if he'll step up in the morning or the afternoon tomorrow. We'll see whenever he's free. Usually mixes it up, actually. Sometimes he does the morning, sometimes the afternoon. But Vegas Insider's Dan Daly hopefully can join us tomorrow. Looking at the field, when we talk about majors, I guess, is it Brooks Koepka time once again, Cam? Is he, you know,
I don't know, Gabe. I don't know.
I don't get the feeling he's going to win again, do you? But you know, what do you make about
this course.
Brooks Koepka?
Nah, I think he'll play well. But I think Pebble Beach offers it's going to bring a lot of guys into the mix. Brooks Koepka is the type of guy where he plays a traditional U.S. Open where you're going to get murdered, and he's like can grind out par, 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 par while other guys take bogeys and doubles. Pebble Beach, Tiger Woods has a great track record here. Who else? If you're looking for some other guys, Brant Snedeker plays well here. Also a good performance at the Canadian Open. Graham McDowell, a top 10 performance, won at Pebble Beach in a major. There's a lot of guys. Dustin Johnson, though, out of all the guys, if I have a matchup bet, I'll go with DJ over Koepka. Right now, DJ's odds are 8-1 to win, and Brooks Koepka is 9-1. Tiger's at 12. It's still not good enough for me. Watch out for guys like Patrick Cantlay, too. He's playing a lot better. Scheifele, he's about 30-1. You get a little bit of line value, Gabe, because of the quality field.
Yeah, I can't disagree. So look, Brooks Koepka's played in 8 majors. The guy's won 4 of them. It's insane.
4 of them, I know. I know. I'm just not sure Pebble Beach. It's one of those courses where if it was longer and you needed like just to totally drive the ball like long off the tee and grind, that's the type of course for him. Pebble Beach, he'll do well. Don't get me wrong, Gabe. He'll probably be on page 1 or 2 of the leaderboard. I just think there's other guys. Tiger Woods with the success here. There's so many other guys that really, really know Pebble and have played it well. So this is the one time I'm not going to take Koepka. Would it surprise me if he won? No. But, you know, I'm going to take DJ over him. One guy's 8-1, one guy's 9-1. Still not going to take Tiger, Gabe, at 12. That's pretty crazy. But he plays great there.
What are your thoughts on Tommy Fleetwood this week?
It's funny you mentioned that. I made that bet when me and Blewett were doing the show over the weekend 2 weeks ago. I already bet on Tommy Fleetwood. I think it was 35-1. He might be 32, 35-1. I think he'll show up. You know what I like about Fleetwood, Gabe? A top 10 bet. He's one of those guys. He's been really, really good, but he hasn't pulled through with the win. Kind of like has that one bad round where he can't get it together. But tee to green, he's exceptional off the tee as well. And if he can get that wedge game going, I think he'll be very dangerous. I'm telling you, Snedeker, though, this is a guy that played well. He's peaking in the right direction. He's about 55-1.
So when people talk about Tiger Woods and Pebble Beach, of course, it was year 2000. He won by 15 shots. And I'm seeing Justin Ray Golf, a great Twitter follow for golf, says it's possibly one of the greatest performances in sports history as the golf world returns to Pebble Beach. They look back on Tiger Woods winning the U.S. Open by 15 shots in 2000. So Tiger, you say Tiger's in the mix, but you don't like the odds. I think Tiger will be around as well, but I'm not overly feeling him. I think DJ is the guy, but DJ, DJ is always the guy. Just seems like at this course, this is his place to lose, isn't it? Like, he can't win here. Where can he win? And what about can Rory keep this going after winning last week too, though?
Yes. See, this is the problem with this tournament this week. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of guys you can throw. You could throw your money on Rory McIlroy, Gabe. The thing that I saw him do, and Hamilton is a very, very difficult golf course if you keep it in the rough. It's an old traditional tree line golf club. Rory McIlroy was hitting his driver 340 yards plus, nutting them dead center and going into every hole with a wedge and knocking it inside 10 feet. He figured out his putter the last couple weeks and he destroyed the field at the Canadian Open. Hence, when I was doing my news update, Gabe, I have Rory McIlroy old odds of this tournament. He was anywhere between 14 and 16 to 1. He is now the co-favorite at 8 to 1. Vegas, New Jersey, they believe in Rory McIlroy. I just can't take him and DJ. I got to put my statement down. I just don't want to take money out of the pocket if you're betting two guys at 8-1. They're the co-favorites.
I'm looking at the odds here right now. And your boy, Snedeker, in the 100-1 range. Daly. Yeah, 3 top 10s in his last 5 U.S. Opens. And Snedeker plays well at Pebble Beach as well.
Yes, he does. He will be on my betting card, not only wanting him to win because he's a great person and was really, really nice to me when I met him. He has a great respect for the Canadian Open, too, class act. He loves Pebble Beach. He plays very, very good golf there. Won in this course before, lots of top fives and tens. I'm with you, Gabe. On my side, he was 55 or 60. If you're getting 100, that is fantastic, especially since for a top 10 and 20 bet, it goes on. 100-1 is fantastic. On my book, he's 50. I got Fleetwood, 35. Yeah, he's 50-1.
Oh yeah, he's 49-1 at FanDuel. Yeah, 49-1. Yeah. Plus 4,900.
Are you getting 100 at? I got to shop around for 100. If I can get 100, wow.
It was in Daly's Daly's breakdown. Let's see, Vegas Insider, whatever books they're using for the odds. Now, he writes this. He wrote this. Usually it'll say, as always, odds at the time are written. It'll probably change throughout the week. It doesn't say what book it's from. But nevertheless, all right, so 50-1, Snedeker, 49-1. I'm going to be looking here like at like some top 20s here, see if we can get what we can find with Snedeker, what kind of odds we get to finish in the top 20. Who are some other live long shots? John Rahm, I'm just done with John Rahm. He never wins anything.
I am too. No, thank you. I don't want John Rahm. Could play well this week. Don't have can't bet on everybody. I'm gonna have to pass on John Rahm. Where is Snedeker top 20? He's plus 187 for top 20. Probably gonna be something real good for a top 10.
Justin Rose. You don't really take Rose very often.
His odds aren't good.
Eddie Lefler.
I like Rose.
Molinari?
Yeah, actually, Molinari's an interesting one in this course. I kind of think he might have the game for it. Man, that a great question, Gabe. Molinari, it's all about the putter, but yeah, that guy keeps it in play. He could be do really, really well at Pebble Beach. He's scary. I haven't put him in in the six pack, but let's take a look at his odds too. Probably like what's Molinari about? He's 40-1. That's a good price for Francisco Molinari. Like that's the thing. You got Tommy Fleetwood at 35-1, and you got Molinari at 40. Molinari wins. Fleetwood's great for top fives and tens. When Molinari's in contention, he wins. He crushes guys in tournaments. He's like Tiger. He's blown away fields. He did what Rory McIlroy did many times, not just winning, but winning by six strokes, eight strokes. He could be that type of guy. Won the Open Championship in a duel with Tiger Woods. 40-1 is good.
A guy that's been playing well, I remember Dan Daly was on him. What was it? What was the last, the PGA Championship?
Oh, yes.
On Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
And Koepka ran away. Yeah, yeah, and Scott played really well. But Scott has continued to play well since then. I know you've been riding him a bit. He's continued to play well. What do you think about him being in the mix this week?
I like Adam Scott over, as crazy as it sounds, you got Justin Rose at 28. I like Scott better at 33. You said it, Morenci. I've been watching Adam Scott. If not for Patrick Cantlay, the other tournament, he wins. Another second performance. Eighth at the last major that Brooks Koepka won, the PGA Championship. So Adam Scott at 33-1, that looks real, real good to me. Problem is, I don't know how many guys I can bet. I'm probably going to do more top 10s and 20s. Dustin Johnson is my pick to win at 8-1. And then after that, I can only probably go three guys at mid odds and a couple real bombers and then some top 10s and top 20s. That's the thing about golf. I get really, really excited, Gabe. And I take away from winning a lot of the time by betting too many guys. Remember, who's your buddy who said, hey, Cam, how's your 35-pack? I'm trying to knock it down to, a six-pack, 10 total, and spread it around. Because the minute you bet over that too many guys, you're spending too much money and your wins, you don't get enough. It's a problem.
And Phil Mickelson, so this is the only major he's ever won before, Phil Mickelson? He's never won the U.S. Open.
Is going to win.
I guess he's won the other. So it's a Grand Slam. Yeah, he needs this for the Grand Slam, career Grand Slam. And he's actually a five-time winner at Pebble Beach, too.
That's the thing. Phil Mickelson will not have a venue more suited to his game as he's getting older. Pebble Beach, he's very familiar with the course. Going to Arizona State, living in California. That's the thing about this venue. A lot of guys know it and played it and have a lot of success here, Gabe. I'll tell you, though, I just can't take Phil. He's just too loose off the tee, but if he's going to win anywhere, it's here.
You mentioned Xander Schauffele. Schauffele's always in the mix, but can he get through? He's another one, isn't it? That good for top 10 type prop, this guy. Top 20, top 10 prop.
Yeah, I like Schauffele. Probably top 20, we're not going to get much on him. I'm thinking top 10 will get a little bit more. Let's take a look here.
He's been top 10. He's been top 10 in three of the last five majors.
Yeah.
Three of the last five majors.
Schauffele, top 10 is plus 250, which I could price. He could be there definitely. And what is he, top 20? You're probably only going to get it maybe like plus 105 or something like that. Shoffley, top 20, is plus 125. You get take back. I like that, Gabe. Like, if you, yeah, like maybe just attack those top 20s just like a regular baseball bet or something. You know, 25 bucks, 50 bucks. Like,
yeah,
that's
the thing.
You're getting plus 125. It's just kind of like betting a game, right? Tonight, we're getting the Reds at plus 125. We take Shifley. And top 20 is a hell of a lot better than top 10. You know how many times? I had a guy last week, 11th. Like, one little stroke at the end, you could go from like 8th to 11th or 16th. It's happened to me so many times. I had Canadian Nick Taylor at 11 to 1 there with Mackenzie Hughes too. All the Canadians in the Canadian Open, Gabe, they finished 14th. Other than Hadwin, who finished 6th. And that's another thing. Guys had Adam Hadwin top 5, he finished 6th. I would rather get a little bit less and then have more security in a top 20 finish, especially if your odds are long. I like that at plus 125.
I can't disagree. I'm looking at some of the props here. It's too bad FanDuel doesn't let you parlay to make the cut. Cut stuff. They have to make
Spenny
the cut.
Mac,
yes, he'll let you parlay.
He'll have another one.
Yeah, poor Spenny Mac.
He'll have one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, hopefully tomorrow he steps up with a parlay. So freaking close last time. One shot away from $160,000.
You know the guy who screwed him, too, is playing really, really well right now. The Irish Bear, Shane Lowry. Top 5 performance at the Canadian Open. He's in good form right now.
They have to miss the cut, to make the cut. We'll get into some of these other props. 2 and 3 balls, group betting, match betting. Top 5, top 10s, top 20s, top 30s, top 40s. Everything else in between is another major. It's been a good, fun golf season this year. I like the way they have these majors once a
month. Every month.
Good stuff.
Yep. They fixed up
very good.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Time decisions and he played Radio Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm David Renshaw. Throw down to Raging Penhead, Cam Stewart. Jump more into the golf tomorrow. We'll run through some of the props a little bit later on. We got a baseball moment on tap. I haven't met any of this Women's World Cup yet, and unfortunately, I got tagged last night as I put the entire account on the game last night, Cam. And the free roll bet. God. And the free
that's
roll.
Even double. That's almost like you're in a fight and you get beat up, and then the guy comes back and kicks you back in the balls. It's like, come on, can I have a little bit left? Oh, God. That's
And I forgot about because it wasn't even about the bet last night, right? I didn't think about it, really. Like, I was so upset about the game. I didn't really think about the bet. It was this morning when the bet hit me. I was like, oh, God, I got nothing in that account anymore. Maybe I shouldn't have put every cent of that game. But hey, it is what it is. We'll have the memory forever, unfortunately. Hopefully they can win. They can wrap this thing up, and they can win on Thursday. They can win on a Sunday. And, it'll just all be part of the story. I guess it just wasn't meant to be for me to be in the building this night, and wasn't meant to be. Hard to beat the Warriors in 5 games, man. You know, it was plus 1,300 for a reason. So it was kind of like a 13-1 shot that before the series started, that the Raptors would win the series in 5 games. They were up by 6, man. They came freaking close to doing it. That's the thing that I feel good about the Raptors, that I don't feel deep inside like we're screwed. I'm frustrated we didn't do it last night.
I don't either.
But the fact is, like, they were up by 6. They just didn't land the plane. Right? Like, they're the better team. They played better for the most part. The Warriors just, have hit a couple of big shots, have had these little mini runs, but the Raptors know they're better and know that they can beat them. They just actually have to do it, right? And they didn't do it last night. Nick Nurse overthought. We relive it, but the timeout was dumb. a lot of just little things in the last minute and a half of that basketball game that stopped them from winning a title. But we still have two more games to get done, and there's still minus 220 favorites to do it. Game time decision. Thank you.